What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
You might have heard it said correctly, unlike in this episode, Stallion, that a person with his health has 1,000 wants, but a person without their health only has one. Today's podcast guest, Justin Rothland Schoeffer, a good friend of the What's Wild Austria tribe, someone that Joey and I have been customers of his company, comes on to talk about not only his journey to building a business, an 8-figure business, and the challenges of being a business owner, trying to think about investing and how do you invest well, but also I think really getting into the challenges that we all deal with stress. And when we can be stressed out about money, our body doesn't know the difference, as he talks about, between the stressors in different areas. I think you're going to enjoy all the different ways that he breaks down one of what we can do about it and what's causing it. What did you get from this time?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is that he broke down the issues and the challenges in a way that as you listen to it, you're going to be nodding your head saying, exactly, that is exactly what I've been feeling, but I didn't know what to call it. I didn't know how to put words to it. And also, I didn't know how to solve it. So Justin actually outlines for you that there's actually tools that you can get access to. If you go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/Justin, you can get access to his book. You get access to a testing mechanism to find out how far along this stress path you may be without even knowing it. So I'm grateful that he gave us some tactical tools to then take our bodies and our minds and our families to the next level. Let's dive in right now with Justin Rothland Schoeffer.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Wealth Without Wall Street tribe, so grateful to introduce our friend Justin Rothland Schoeffer to the show. Justin, so glad to have you, man.
Oh, it is so great to be here. I love being with both of y'all. It's anytime I'm with you guys, whether it's in person or virtual, something good happens. So everybody who's listening, you know, something good's going to happen today.
Hey, anytime we can talk to someone who's building a business, somebody who has spent a lot of time around high peak performers, right? Helping them be better in their areas of expertise as it relates to health, which allows them to be better in life and business with family. That's always good. But also, as you're listening to this, right, not only I think you're going to gain a lot from this episode with Justin as we talk and break down health and mistakes people are making, but I think first of all, Justin, you've been building a business for the last 3 years in a very big and powerful way. And I think the connection for people listening is, how does that play out? Like, how do you grow a business and try to think about investing and keep those two in line?
You delegate. To be honest with you, I mean, that's a big part of my story. It's a big part of why I think we get along so well together, is because what you guys are all about and how you set up people for passive income and help educate them in this construct, it gives us a framework in which to work from. And so the way that we've been able to do it is you have to be intentional. And I talk about this in the same way when we talk about health, wellness, and performance. Is the most successful people in the world, I've had the luxury of working with many of them, whether it's in health, whether it's in business, whether it's in finance, whether it's in relationships, I don't care what you've determined success as, but the most successful people in the world have one thing in common, and they're the most intentional people in the world. And so when there's high levels of intentionality paired with high levels of consistency multiplied over time, the outcome is inevitable. We already know what the outcome is going to be. You're going to find success. And so that's I think a roundabout answer to your question, Russ, of how have I been able to build a business that's approaching eight figures in 3 years, along with now generating passive income in different ways. It's been through making sure that we're intentional with our actions, but also being uber consistent with knowing which things make the most sense to prioritize and put your time, energy, and resources behind that are going to give you the best outcomes in the long run.
So just talk a little bit about that. Like, I think today we're going to have a lot of angles that we could take this at, but just to begin, the person that's in your seat right now, they've been trying to build a business, or maybe they're in a W-2 and they're trying to be more intentional about building a business and creating this stewardship of what they've been given to invest it well. What are the challenges maybe you faced in that process, and or the people that you serve, that you see as a consistent basis?
Yeah, I'll go back to my story a little bit here in answering this question, because there's a lot of, I don't know if I've ever told this story, just I've never been in a room to necessarily talk about this a lot. But when I left college and got my master's degree and then went into my postgraduate work, I was very blessed and fortunate that hockey paid for all of my schooling. So I didn't have schooling debt. I was able to come out and get right into a job and a career. I don't know if you know this, but the health, wellness, and performance industry in professional sports does not pay very well. You wouldn't expect that because you're like, oh, you're working in the NHL. It's a professional sport that the guys are making millions of dollars. You have to be making at least hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, I started making $32,000 a year, and I was always banking on tips at the end of the year. Like, how do you get tips from guys, and you're looking after guys in the best way possible. And right up until the year 2020, the most I ever made in a single season was $83,000. And at the end of the day, that $83,000, when I left the league in 2020, I had two homes in my name, neither that I lived in, but were creating rental income for me. And I was, between my two homes, generating close to 50% of additional income versus what I was actually making. And that was the first moment that I realized, like, I'm never going to get to where I want to be, and I'm never going to experience the freedom I'm going to desire by just doing what everybody else is doing. And when I started the business in 2021, after I left the NHL, it was almost like a synergistic focus of building the business, but also building passive income. What did that look like in kind of creating a new change and a new opportunity? And it was at that point that Sharon obviously introduced myself to y'all. And that's when we started to really adopt a lot of the behaviors and systems and processes that you guys have in place that has now, again, given us the freedom to lean in. And so the biggest thing that was hindering me is I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what buttons to push. I didn't know what levers to pull, because for me, it was just, hey, get more rental income properties, and that's what you're going to do. And at that point, I was managing them. At that point, I was operating them. At that point, I was the contact. And I still remember we were on the road. I'll never forget this. We played in Dallas on a Thursday night. We flew to LA and played on Saturday night. And on Saturday night, I got a phone call from one of my renters who was renting our home in Naples, Florida, and said, hey, we've had a leak in the kitchen, and the kitchen is now flooded and it's dripping into the condo underneath you. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do about it? It's like, yeah, I'm on the other side of the country. And that was the first moment that I knew, like, I do not want to do this. This has zero passion for me, and it's just now an energy suck. And at that moment, there was probably a 24 or 36 hour period where I was like, sell all the homes, get rid of everything, fire sale, get rid of them on discount, give them away to somebody, because I don't want to manage this. And on that journey, figuring out and learning was the biggest thing that I needed to do in order to now get to a place where I wasn't in the game, but rather allowing somebody else who's that was their passion. So that gave me time, freedom to lean into what my passion was.
Tribe, can you relate to that? I mean, think about the first deals that you did. How many of those stories are connected exactly to what Justin just said? That it's and for some people, Justin, when that happens to them, because it happened to me in 2007 after buying my first rental property, I had the unit and on top of me leak into mine, and so I was the one underneath yours, right? And unfortunately, the way those condo associations work is you're responsible for your own stuff, even if the person above you is the problem or the source of the problem. And what it happened to me is I put it on pause. I did nothing for almost 10 years. And that doesn't sound like what you did. So talk about what did you start doing that helped you get out of the active space there, but allowed you, you know, because you're focusing on building a business, you're starting a business, you're growing a business, and it's obviously skyrocketed since you started 3 years ago. What did you do that moved you from active to passive in your investment stuff?
Yeah. So let me kind of back up to that story. Literally the next week, I got management companies for both of my properties. So immediately I'm no longer in them. Like there's a management company, they're operated by somebody else. And now finally I'm just getting a check. But at the same time, you're giving the management company a decent percentage of what you were getting. So that's what I did there. Then again, not knowing any different, I kept adding. So we got a condo in New York City. We got a ski house up in Canada. We got another property in Miami. And now we've got these homes. And as we started to build, when they're getting managed by people, some performing well, some aren't. We've got two that are short-term rental, more like Airbnb style. We got two more that are long-term rental, which is great and exciting, but you're not singing to the bank or really seeing anything powerful from that. It's like, hey, you're providing home for somebody else, which is, praise God, somebody needs to, and that's awesome. But that's just not the game I wanted to play. You're not going to create financial freedom by having two or three long-term rentals that you have people living in. And so the Airbnbs were performing okay. The long-term rentals were rented, but again, you're making a couple thousand bucks every month, and it's good, but it's not what we wanted. And there all of a sudden came opportunities where we heard about these syndications and these passive income streams through that they pay you on a quarterly basis or a monthly basis. And there's a big sale in about 3 or 4 years outside of these. And like, that's the goal, is to continue to increase this. And at the same time, Russ, I'll be completely honest, we were looking deep into the stock market and deep into crypto and all of these different things that were coming across our plate. Cause I was like, how do I get out of this rat race that I'm continually finding myself in? And at the same time, all of these things required money, but I had so much equity tied up in all of these other places, I didn't have liquidity to be able to go into these places. And so over the course of the next year and a half, my wife and I sold three of our properties, and we went into two syndications, one focused specifically in multifamily, another focused in the car wash space, and then we kept our short-term rentals that were operating in really powerful ways. And all of a sudden, we started to find that our time and our energy that was being utilized for managing these things suddenly went away. And so number one, getting a coach and being educated in these places, getting into rooms such as yours and being in communities and relationship with people that were doing this and this was their passion became really valuable. And then just being guided on this path. Because I'll give you another story here. This is a good one. It was one of my last years in the NHL. There was a guy that had reached out. I'd done a camp and he was watching at the camp. He was a sponsor actually. And he came up to me after the camp. He goes, Justin, I love what you did. And don't get me wrong, the guy wrote a $25,000 check to sponsor, be one of the sponsors for this NHL camp. And he came up to me after, he said, hey, we're in the process of developing this new product. We're in a raise, a financial raise. We're looking for $4 million. This is the outlook. We're basically taking this money. In 3 years, we're going to give it back to you. It's going to give X amount of return. These are the people who are invested in it. Well, I ended up talking to the people that he had invested in it. And I ended up cutting them a check for, I think, $40,000. And little did I know, the whole time it was fake. Like, the whole time they were just ripping people off. And so this goes back to like this concept of you don't know what you don't know. And that really was like a fear of mine, is like, okay, that happened. I invested in something else that completely tanked, that disappeared. And like, I don't understand this off-market stuff. I don't understand this, these different ways of investing. And so I shied away from it. And that's why the only way I understood was real estate. But I didn't realize that you didn't have to be the guy doing the real estate stuff in order to get invested in the real estate side. And so that was really what was just uncovered for me, that gave me the bandwidth and gave me the time to be able to focus on what I love and what I do, and really be able to change the game in that way.
Man, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, like just that backdrop. And again, as Russ mentioned, Tribe, this is not uncommon. Like, Justin's path is your path. It's my path. It's Russ's path of trying different things, not having a lot of direction, not having a coach in many ways, right? That you've talked about the value of having a coach and how certain things change when those things come into being. Talk about what you see. You guys coach a ton of business owners, right? In a lot of different areas. The stresses that they're under, and from the standpoint of their financial and their business health, what are those challenges that you see on a regular basis that people are dealing with?
Yeah, I was talking to Russ about this yesterday, actually. And when you look at kind of how we focus on people, so my background, again, like I said, I was a health and performance director in the National Hockey League and the NCAA, and really help people optimize their health in a personalized way, N of one solutions, by looking at data and allowing data to drive decisions so that we can alleviate chronic illness, we can alleviate the brain fog, the poor sleeps, all of these things in a very personalized way. And so when you think about this construct, everything came back to, okay, how does stress create deficiencies at the cellular level, which create symptoms that we consider normal, which ultimately lead to chronic illness? That's the pattern that we go through as a society. That's the pattern that we follow. And these stressors, we don't actually realize that are there. And when you look at the three biggest stressors in somebody's life, the three biggest stressors that create massive health impacts, number one is death of a family member. Number two is marital disruption. And number three is financial stress. And so when you think of this concept of financial stress and what it starts to do to you from a health standpoint, it deteriorates everything. It deteriorates your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health, your spiritual health. And these are the things that, again, over the course of time, start to throw you down this path to chronic illness, because your body's not just going to shut down. It's going to continue to keep adapting. It's going to continue to keep shifting. What I call stealing from Peter to pay Paul, meaning if your vitamins and minerals in your body are being depleted because you are just under so much stress and it runs out of something, it's not like, oh, Joey, see you later, I'm out. It's going to start pulling from other areas of your body. And so you find this massive sense of depletion. That's why we all of a sudden wake up and we have headaches. That's why we all of a sudden wake up and we have brain fog. That's why we all of a sudden don't sleep well. That's why we start to develop anxiety that we've never had before. We start to gain weight, even though we're working out and training like we haven't had before. It's not because you just turned 50. It's not because you just turned 40. It's not because you're leading a new family or you've had a new child or you're experiencing some marital issues. It's because your body is like, hey, I can't adapt anymore to the stress that you're placing on me. And I am in the process of literally starting to break. And if you're on this process of starting to break, stress to deficiencies to symptoms, which lead to illness, that's how chronic illness has become the leading cause of death in the United States at 71%. 95% of that, which is solvable through lifestyle habit and behavior change.
If you've listened to our show for any length of time, you've heard us talk about infinite banking and how we were able to use that concept to create over $50,000 a month in passive income. But it's just not that easy to figure out, how does this all connect into my own personal system?
Stallion, that's why we created the Passive Income Operating System, bro. It shows you how to turn active income into passive income. It makes all the steps come together. If you would like to get access to it as a podcast listener, we've never given this away in public before, go to wealthwallstreet.com/P-I-O-S. There was nothing worse than walking into class when you're in school and the teacher saying, pop quiz day. Why? Because you were unprepared. Are you unprepared though for financial freedom?
Don't be. Find out how close you are by taking our 30-second quiz at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/quiz.
I want to jump into the solutions in a second. And I know that you have very insightful thoughts around what some would say are solutions as compared to what really are potential solutions for people. But when people are under stress, and especially as it relates to money, they make bad decisions, and they make bad decisions with their health as a result, right? And you've been around some of the most successful people in the world, right? Like you've worked with people who are worth billions of dollars. You're working with athletes, current professional athletes in the NHL, the NBA, the MLB, right? The NFL. And you get to see these athletes, obviously they're making lots of money too. But you also see when financial issues start to pile up on them, how that starts to impact, as you were saying, those stressors. Talk a little bit about that. What are you seeing as the mistakes that people are making there in their health that's just contributing to these other stressors that they have in their life?
It's a really great question. And what I'm going to pose to the beginning of this is, over the last 2 years, I've spoken on probably close to 250 different stages of entrepreneurs, small business owners, business leaders. And I give this assessment. And this assessment looks at how you're adapting to stress and strain in your life. Because we know that chronic stress leads to chronic deficiencies, which lead to chronic symptoms, which lead to chronic illness. We have to keep that in mind. Well, your body doesn't know the difference between mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, real or perceived, positive or negative stressors. So I'll say that again. Mental, physical, spiritual, emotional stress, your body doesn't know the difference. So you're in a financial pinch, you're going for a 20-mile run, you're in a spat with your wife, your kids are going off to college, you're renovating a home. Body doesn't know the difference between these stressors. You think you have financial issues, or you do have financial issues. Body doesn't know the difference. Real, perceived, positive, negative, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional stress. Body doesn't know the difference. So I give this assessment, 45 questions, that we ultimately get to understand where somebody is in terms of handling stress and strain. What we found was that 87% of people in these positions, business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, business leaders, 87% of people had a score of 300 or more. I'm going to bring that into context here in a second. What Holmes and Rahe found in their study around something very similar was, if you had a score between 0 and 150, you had relatively low amount of chronic stress that would lead to health breakdown over the course of the next year. If you scored 150 to 300, you had a 50% increased likelihood of health breakdown in the next year. Now, health breakdown means you might all of a sudden have anxiety. You might all of a sudden have headaches that you never had before. You might all of a sudden start to have weight gain that you didn't have before. You all of a sudden might start waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to sleep. These are the things of health breakdown. Remember, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. Body doesn't know the difference. If you scored 300 or more, and remember, Holmes and Rahe were able to predict this within 2% accuracy. If you had a score of 300 or more, you had an 80% chance of health breakdown in the next year, meaning that you would notice health deteriorations in symptoms over the next year. 87% of all the people that I spoke with, and again, that's probably close to 200,000 to 250,000 people in those 200 plus rooms over the last 2 to 3 years. Over 87% of people found themselves with a score of 300 or more. And that's just the reality of society. That is the reality of where we go. Because the further deep in a hole you feel, whether you're trying to make a business work, whether you're feeling the financial responsibility of your family, you feel, especially as males, we feel like the more we do, the harder we work, the further we're going to get. The more we go, the farther we work, the more we're going to get. And it just becomes this hamster wheel that we go on. And I mean, Ed Milet wrote a book on it, The Power of One More. And his concept of the power of one more is very different than what most people think about the power of one more. It's like, I just need one more. I just need one more business to sell. I just need one more deal to close. I just need one more client. I just need one more. I just need that. I hit a million. Now I just need to hit 2 million. I hit 2 million. Now I just need to hit 5 million. I hit 5 million. Now I just need to hit 10 million. And it's never enough. And so this cycle of more and more and more is leading to more and more stress, which is leading to more and more deficiencies, which is leading to more and more symptoms, symptoms that we consider normal because this is the society we live in, which is ultimately creating the outcomes we're finding. At 71%, the leading cause of death in the United States is chronic illness, because that's what that leads to.
Oh man. The one more just kicks me right in the midsection, I'm going to tell you. Like, I'm always telling Joey, just one more, LLC. Joey, just one more.
I was checking to make sure that was Justin saying that versus Russ. It's so interesting. Yeah.
So let's give some solutions, right? We did a decent job of talking about not only the struggles we've all had as business owners, investors, trying to think through these things, how that ultimately starts to impact our health, how we start to see that deterioration and that stress on our body. We feel that, and we feel the need to do one more thing. We start to feel the need of, how am I going to get out of this job? How am I going to build passive income? How can I do all these things before my kids leave the house? Because I want to do all those things. Those are all good motivations, but they still can create stress in our life. What are some of those things that we can actually start doing, right, that can help us start relieving the stress, start creating an opportunity for us to be able to take on potentially more stress, but in a positive way? Because I know that's a lot of what you've been teaching me over the last 3 years.
So I'm going to take a very different approach to this, because most people, when they start talking about this, they're going to say, oh, you need to start meditating. Oh, you need to start doing breath work. Oh, you need to start working out. You need to start having a night routine. You need to start going to bed at a better time. Cool. That's what I'll say. That's interesting. We'll use Sharon Srivatsa's word, right? That's interesting. But I always come back to it with a different level, because anything that is sustainable, anything that becomes a habit, anything that you lean into, you ultimately begin to buy into. You truly resonate with. You've created some level of awareness. And me being the data guy that I am, I don't want you to take my word for it. I don't want you to take my opinion. I don't want you to take my thoughts and emotions and beliefs. I want you to go off of data. I want you to understand your body better. I talk a lot about this in the book, The Power of Ownership, where we can truly understand our own bodies. When we can take ownership of how our body's functioning, that is what's going to empower us to say, man, I need to wake up. Because I can't tell you how many times in this room, when I would do this assessment on people, how I typically start every keynote was I say, who finds themselves stressed in this room? Maybe 10 to 20% of people will lift their hands. 10 to 20% of people will lift their hands. Well, 87% of people actually show quantifiably that they are under severe stress, that they are completely unaware of. But then people will say, well, Justin, that's a subjective test. That's something that's subjectively telling me. That's something that I've had to enter answers into. Okay, fine. Let's see what your body has to say. And this is why I say that tracking, having measurements, having something that is unbiased, such as wearable devices, coming back to the concept of heart rate variability. If you start looking at heart rate variability, it will tell you immediately, are you adapting to stress well, or are you not adapting to stress well? And that is something that you can't battle. That is something that you can't poo-poo on. That is something that you can't start to doubt, because that is literally how your body is communicating to you. I can't make that up. I can't change something. I can't manipulate something. You can't manipulate something. It's literally how your body is adapting to stress and strain. And so when somebody's probably listening to this, like, what the heck's a heart rate variability? Or what the heck is this word you just said? Within every wearable device, they utilize something called heart rate variability. Going back to when I was 13 years old, my dad said to me, son, talent will get you noticed, but consistency will get you paid. I wanted to figure out how to be the most consistent version of myself. And so I started to focus on habits, behaviors, lifestyle changes in order to perform at the highest level. I started to read medical journals when most kids were reading comic books. And I came across this study in 1998 called How to Understand Your Body's Stress Load Through Heart Rate Variability. And so I started to read. I was like, oh, stress, that sounds important. This is what I want to know. And so I started to track it manually at 13. Well, now fast forward 25 years, and we now have all of these great pieces of technology to actually start measuring this. This is what I brought into the NHL. This is what I do with all of our clients. This is what I start to have our team trained on to actually understand what's going on. It's what I did all my postgraduate doctoral work in, understanding stress. And so the best definition that I can have for heart rate variability, it is the single metric that is the language for helping us understand how our body is adapting to stress and strain. Remember, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, your body doesn't know the difference. And so what we start to see is if you have a high heart rate variability, that means that your body is adapting really well to stress. Versus if we have a really low HRV, we are not adapting well to stress and we need to start to create change. So people will ask, okay, what is it actually measuring? Our heart beats in certain amount of time. So say, Russ, your heart rate is 60 beats per minute and my heart rate is 60 beats per minute. Most people would think that means that each heartbeat is going at one beat per second. Simple math would tell us that. But that's not how our body functions. It basically says, hey, I'm only going to beat when it has to. So Russ, you're adapting really, really well to stress. You've got great sleeps going on. You've got a lot of great self-care practices in. You're eating well. You're fit. You've got a great rhythm in how your life's operating. Your heart goes, oh, I just have to beat when I have to. 798 milliseconds, 887 milliseconds, 645 milliseconds, 697 milliseconds. And over the course of 60 seconds, it beats 60 times, but at different intervals. Me, on the other hand, I'm not adapting well to stress. I didn't sleep well last night. I'm not very fit. I'm not eating well. I'm dehydrated. I'm stressed out because I'm on my 14th Zoom call of the day. I'm nervous on this podcast because I've never been on a podcast before. And so all of these things are really causing my body to go, oh my gosh, we just have to keep Justin alive. And my heart's beating at 898 milliseconds, 900 milliseconds, 885 milliseconds, 892 milliseconds. And so the variability is much lower. And so what that signals to us is it now gives us a quantifiable metric to say, if my heart rate variability is low, I need to change my habits and behaviors. I need to become aware as to what I'm doing day in and day out. Versus if I have a high heart rate variability, it's like, man, I'm doing things the right way. I'm actually on a good path. And this is now kind of that guidance path, that guidance mechanism to help us understand.
So that's amazing. Like, I think most people have never even considered what you just said there. They never heard the term HRV or heart rate variability. I know that was new to me whenever you introduced that to us in 2021. And my wife and I worked with you and your group and learned those habits that you talk about that take into consideration the data that then causes the change. Mm-hmm. Besides understanding your data, besides understanding that there are certain habits that need to form that consistency in your life, is there anything else you add to somebody listening saying, okay, Justin just put his finger on what I'm feeling and what I'm, and I want to be able to show up for my family. I want to be able to show up and manage the challenges of my business, my finances, to become the investor that I want to be. And to lead my family well. Anything else that you'd leave us with? And I know I want to give people a chance to interact with you. I know we've already got a place, wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/Justin. So if you want access to the testing that he's talked about, you want access to some of these other resources, that's all going to be there. But as we're leaving out today, what would be one thing else you would leave us that says, man, this is a game changer for that person?
In terms of a habit, action, or what? How can I best answer?
Yeah, that? From a solution part. I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like we see the problems. You talked about knowing your data. That's a humongous thing. I think so many times people don't know their data, What is one of those other mistakes that maybe we're making, or what's another potential solution that you see, like a wearable or something that can help us like start making those positive steps on our own?
Yeah. So number one, by far, is understanding your data, understanding something to increase awareness. The second thing is realizing that no matter where you are right now, if you were to answer this next question honestly, the answer would be yes. And the question is, do you wear your stress as a badge of honor? Do you wear your stress as a badge of honor? Because I've been doing this for long enough now that people feel that they need to trade their health for their mission. They need to trade their health for what they're called to do. And the moment that you realize that you can actually have both, that is when everything starts to change. That you don't have to stay up until 11 o'clock at night sending emails. You don't have to wake up at 5 a.m. to start getting into your next strategies. You don't have to skip lunch to end work through it because you had to go and get things done and accomplished. It's when you realize that when you become weaker, everything you touch becomes weaker. But when you become stronger, everything you touch becomes stronger. And knowing that, hey, this badge of honor that I've been wearing, I have to put it down, because that is what's going to make me better. That's what's going to allow me to have a greater capacity to do more that I've actually been trying to do by working harder. And so that's I think a big thing. And the third thing I'll add is the most important thing when it comes to stress alleviation, and something that goes along with wearing this badge of honor, is sleep. Sleep by far will be the number one thing that we can do and focus on that will improve how we adapt to stress, how we operate through stress, and how we increase our capacity in increasing HRV and putting down that badge of honor so that we can ultimately feel better the next day. And I can go into a whole bunch of ways in how we do that, but those are going to be those three things.
That's also, and Tribe, by the way, Joey and I both have been clients of Justin and his company Own It. And yeah, I learned from you that we have this circadian rhythm and that our sleep cycles are in these 90-minute time frames. And it helps me understand, like, if I wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning and I'm like, nope, got to go back to sleep. But also then I start doing the math to say, okay, if I really want to get up at, you know, 6, I got two more rhythms in there. I got two more cycles. Like, I start thinking in the pattern of cycles. I start thinking of the things that can help me, you know, with breath work, to taking the magnesium at night, to, you know, freeing my mind, dumping all of this stuff out of there. You start teaching me about these stuff, and I wake up in the morning, I look at my wearable device, and I'm trying to see what percentage of my sleep was restorative, right? And then I start using it as a badge of honor, as I tell Joey, look, I slept 4 hours out of 8 hours last night in restorative. And he's like, yeah, I slept, you know, 7.5 hours out of 8 hours in restorative or something, because this dude sleeps like a rock. Tribe, if you're interested in health, which I believe you should, because, man, what's the old proverb that says, you know, person who has all the money and no health only has one challenge, right? Only one goal, and that's to fix the health. And I think that it's important for us to take advantage of both our health and our wealth at the same time. Justin, thank you so much. I'm hoping that our tribe will connect with you, get the new book that's come out, The Power of Ownership. All of those things are going to be on the link. Really appreciate you being on the show today, though.
I appreciate you guys. It's so great. And like I said, this the resource that we put together is just really making this easy and simple for people so that they can truly take ownership of their health.
Tribe, if you found value today, please take time to just take a screenshot of this and post it somewhere on social so that we know we can make more of the same content that you're connecting with. Have an amazing day.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.